I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. It's a pleasure to speak with Holly Fretwell of the Property, Environment, and Research Center in Bozeman, Montana, where Glory lives. She and her colleague Jonathan Wood have published Fix America's Forests, Reforms to Restore National Forests and Tackle the Wildfire Crisis. If you know PERC, and you've heard me talk to PERC over the years, you know that the way forward is a partnership between private enterprise and the national forests or the state forests. And what is to be done is to create those partnerships, and Holly and Jonathan have examples here. Holly, what is the National Forest Foundation, and how does it work in, say, northern Arizona and could work in southern Arizona? What does the model look like, Holly?
Well, the National Forest Foundation is a congressionally chartered nonprofit that actually takes revenues that the people are interested in donating to help manage the forest, revenues coming in from other areas, grant funds, et cetera, and then is able to pass those through to the Forest Service to get some of this work done. So they are sort of the catalyst to create some of these collaborative groups and bring them together to be able to work with the Forest Service. What we've seen in the northern Arizona is a great project that's been taking place to try to enhance restoration in the region. It's a collaboration with a number of different groups, the Salt River Project, who's a utility company, City of Phoenix, Scottsdale, Coca-Cola, Arizona Department of Fish and Wildlife, outdoor recreation groups, conservation groups, a whole bunch of different individuals that are interested in ensuring that we reduce the risk of wildfire and that we enhance the use of our forest, if you will, so that we can use it for both products, you know, wood products, for ecosystem services such as clean water, for recreation, for wildlife, et cetera. The agency itself does not have the funds to take care of this problem. And even if we dumped a ton more money into the National Forest and into the Forest Service and said, here, go do what you wish, that's not going to solve the problem for us. We still have this sort of political influence and political ramifications as to how the money is going to be spent. What we really see is through these collaborative groups and these local partnerships, those are the individuals that really understand the problem. Those are the individuals that are going to benefit most from doing good restoration, and they're the ones that are going to pay the cost from not doing that restoration. So these groups getting together, talking through what makes most sense is really bringing that great information from on the ground right there into the forest restoration process, and then bringing these individuals together so that we can actually get this stuff done. We talked about NEPA previously. Most of these projects, people are not interested in doing them until they are what we call shovel ready. And what that means is that it's already through the NEPA process, because that NEPA process can add additional time and risk to whether the project's actually going to take off. Once we get through that NEPA acceptance, then these collaborative groups can actually get in there, and they're making some great success in generating revenues. The Northern Arizona Project has raised something over $6 million to try to get this restoration done, again, with lots of different groups putting in to help make a difference and make sure that we have a good, healthy forest that's meeting the demands of the citizens that live near that forest.
What can go wrong and why? Let's go to the state of California, and the example is the Yuba Water Project. Yuba restoration bond for $4 million. And yet there's hesitation about bonds, or bonds need more support. How is it that the bonds haven't worked yet?
So Blue Forest Conservation has actually introduced an idea called the Forest Resilience Bond, and they have worked together with the Yuba Water Utility and several other groups, some private investors, some philanthropists, other locals, again, talking about the conservation groups and the wildlife groups in this region. And what they're trying to do is they were trying to figure out, how do we get this money up front so that we can actually do this work on the ground, do this restoration work, reduce the risk of severe wildfire. But we have to get the money up front, and then it's going to provide these benefits over a long period of time. And they have actually been very successful at creating what they call the Forest Resilience Bond. And the investors and the Yuba Water Utility have put the money up front to help pay for this project. And then water users over time will be paying back that bond as they're realizing the benefits of clean water and clean air over time. So they have been very successful with it. They've actually just generated a new project, raising something like $6 million just recently to try to continue to expand this forest resilience project. One of the difficulties of taking that type of a project and doing it somewhere else is that what's happening on in the Tahoe National Forest, which is where this project is taking place, there's a lot of valuable timber that exists in there. So they can put the money up front, get that restoration done, take that timber, sell it, also provide, you know, money from the water utilities, users, and that's what's paying back that bond. If you're looking in an area where there's really very little added value in the forest and in the products that we're removing, it becomes much more difficult to pay that back. Potentially in the future, we could see that being paid back because there's all kinds of uses for this small diameter timber. But in the California area, we have the mills in place that are taking that resource and adding value to it. If we're looking in Arizona and some other places where we have really small diameter timber, we don't always have the ability to add the value there. We need some significant investment, some private investment in mill infrastructure and processing plants, and we don't have that right now. So it's a harder model to follow across the board in every region.
I learned from Holly that in 2001, in addition to the war, Congress created the Good Neighbor Authority for the Forest Service. This was a positive idea to permit to enhance partnerships with states, with tribes, and with counties for forest management. However, what can go wrong and why? What we have here is the possibility that there are rules that will not bend. Are the rules left over from the 20th and the 19th century, Holly? Is that what the concern is?
You know, sometimes we get things passed and then we get it taken away, right? So some of the rules are really just part of the Farm Bill process where the authority was given for the Good Neighbor Authority. And just restrictions that sometimes don't make a lot of sense to one group, but maybe make more sense to another group. The Good Neighbor Authority has been wonderful to allow states to actually work with the federal agencies to get some of this restoration work done. The states have to then get some of that seed money up front to get these projects started. But once they are working on these projects, if it's done at the state level, the revenues that are generated there can go back into the state to continue the process and do additional projects over time. Unfortunately, what's happened with the counties and the tribes is that those revenues are not allowed to go back to the counties and the tribes. So what we would like to see is more flexibility so that those groups that are actually doing these projects can generate those revenues so they can continue the projects and sort of roll that money forward for the next project and the next project. Because again, as we get to these more local levels, these are the people that really understand some of the problems that exist here. And so those are the folks that have that good, solid information as to what are some of the best projects that we should be doing and what are some of the great benefits we can get out from them.
That's a model that works with wildlife as well as with forests. I see that it's the same thing. The people who live there have the most to gain from proper management of their environment, whether it's a buffalo or a forest. It seems very logical. Is that case made clearly? You mentioned the state of Idaho. Does the state of Idaho understand that the people who live next to the forest are the ones who are going to take care of it best, not us in the state capital?
The state of Idaho has done a great job with Good Neighbor Authority, and we're some of the leaders really getting some of this stuff at scale. And yes, they definitely understand that. And you know, we've talked with a number of different states that are looking at this, what we call this GNA program. And some of the states feel like the Fed is actually putting a load on them, putting the burden on them, but they understand how important it is to get this stuff done. So some states were sort of standoffish at first and did not want to be a part of this project because it really, I mean, these are federal lands, right? Maybe the feds should be taking care of their own lands. But as this fire risk increases and individuals are realizing how dire the situation really is, some of these states are starting to come in and say, okay, look, we need to help get this done because the feds aren't getting it done, and we need to make some progress on this. And as a result of that, we're seeing more and more states starting to partake in this process, and they've also watched some of the other states and some of the lessons learned there as to how they can actually be really effective at doing this and that there are potential returns. Again, if you're talking about a forest that really doesn't have any timber value that's been removed, it's much more difficult because thinking about what those ecosystem services are and the, you know, certainly provide huge value for clean water, clean air, recreation trails, et cetera. But those are harder to put a dollar amount on and harder to generate revenues from. And therefore, it's harder to get that upfront funding to actually get that project taken care of.
Holly knows that I was at Bozeman very happily in Bozeman, Montana at PERC. The year that Idaho burned, at least that's the way it was presented to me, an Easterner who doesn't know anything, I looked up in the air one morning and it was all smoking. And I thought, well, what's happened here? And I wandered outside and the mountains were smoky, the forest was smoky, I thought, well, there's a fire somewhere, until somebody told me, no, it's just Idaho. Idaho! I'm in southern, eastern Montana, and Idaho was on fire, which is a long way away. Holly, is that routine, that a state burns and everybody shrugs it off?
I don't think it's typical anymore, but for sure there are some states that get more attention than others and some fires that get more attention than others. And when things are on fire, depending upon which way the wind is blowing is depending upon where that smoke is going to go. So, here in Montana, if we get that smoke, we probably don't get a whole lot of attention. I guarantee if you get it in California or Seattle or one of those larger metropolis areas, that you're going to get more concern and it's going to be heard a lot more across the nation.
What is to be done when we come back? Recommendations from Fix America's Forest by Holly Fretwell and her colleague Jonathan Wood, Property and Environmental Research Center, Bozeman, Montana. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.